It's Thursday, December 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you, and yes, it's a very rainy and cold time here in the Washington, D.C. area, but nevertheless, I have a great show lined up for you and a lot to share, so strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state, actually, District of Columbia. Here in Washington, D.C. Hey, folks, how you doing? Welcome to the show. And yes, I am via my portable studio, so I hope that the sound is a little better than it was the other night. I think it is. I did a little tweaking with the knobs, as one would do. But I got a great show lined up for you. And, I mean, I'm looking at the Weather Channel. And, you know, in Hawaii, I never look at the Weather Channel. Matter of fact, one of my friends today said, "Hey, Todd, you need to make sure you check out the weather in Hawaii." And I'm like, "Well, why? Why would I want to check out the weather?" He said, "I heard they're getting a bunch of rain." And sure enough, I checked out the Weather Channel for Hawaii, or weather.com, and it was not good weather. So I was talking with my lovely wife, and she says, "Oh, it's raining here hard." So I guess I've missed a few rainy days in Hawaii. But it's raining and cold. I would rather be raining and warm, but sooner that'll happen very, very soon. I fly out of here on Saturday, and I apologize for this chair that is squeaking. Every time I move, I need a can of oil or WD-40 or something to spray underneath it. Well, I want to welcome all of you to the podcast. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast as well. They're available via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter. And speaking of the newsletter, sorry for those of you who got two last time, but I have definitely figured out how to make sure the formatting is correct. And from here forward, you should get the correct formatting on the emails. Make sure you are allowing my emails to come in embedded with HTML, okay? Definitely appreciate that. And, of course, you can sign up for the newsletter via the newsletter link on the website. That'll get you our show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And it's the best way to keep up with what's going on with the podcast. And you can follow along via your Outlook browser while you're at work, or if you know, just depending on where you're at. So, hey, let me get you guys caught up here. Been sending out some emails. I haven't got all the RSVPs. I've actually gotten a few people say, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it." But the podcaster meetup is Friday, which is tomorrow. We're going to meet at 7 p.m. at Clyde's. It's a restaurant in Tyson's Corner. So all you got to do is type in Clyde's Tyson Corner. It was recommended to me by one of the people I was meeting with this week that said it's a great place to go eat. So we'll be meeting there at 7. I need to make reservations probably in the morning, or else we're all probably going to be standing around waiting for a table. But that is the plan. Clyde's at 7 p.m. In Tyson's Corner. Actually, it's in Vienna, Virginia. So let me go ahead and run down through here, too. Have had just been slammed all week. Been offline most of the day during the daytimes, working with this consulting stuff I've got going on here. And then coming home at night and catching up with email. And this 24-hour podcast is ringing in the back of my mind. So I will probably be solidifying or working again on the schedule for the 24-hour podcast Saturday on the airplane on my way back, and then be doing the email blast and publishing the schedule. But that is a very short time away, December 20th. Now, I don't want to remind you of the HP Magic giveaway. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. I've listed all the sites that are remaining for the giveaway. Now, the Geek News Central giveaway starts on the 16th, I believe, which is, let me look at the little calendar here that I have on my computer. The 16th is next Tuesday. So I will be announcing, okay, now remember, I'll be announcing how you can win on this show. It'll be the Tuesday the 16th show. It'll be announced live and how you can win. The only way you're going to be able to find out how to win is by listening to the podcast, okay? And it will be put somewhere within the content. So you'll have to listen to wherever I put the announcement at. And then on the Friday show, the 19th, there will be a second portion to the contest that you will have to you'll have to know and you'll have to listen through for. And I've been debating on whether I want to make a bonus round. The bonus round may be for the 20th or 21st. I'll decide next week. Of course, I'll be doing the 24-hour podcast, and I'll probably do a bonus round during that live event. I'll set a couple of hours during the 24-hour period where you can tune in and you can learn how to get information on how to, basically be involved in the contest. Really, you know, it's going to boil down to one thing. Follow the rules that I'm going to lay forward, and if you are the winner, we're going to ask that you give away prizes. Spread the Christmas joy by giving away one of the items. We would hope a laptop, or, you know, not just software, but, you know, give something away to a needy person, friend, family member. You know, we don't care who you give it, but share the wealth. And that's going to make, you know, not only your Christmas a good Christmas, but you give someone a pretty awesome Christmas present. Of course, you can see all the cool prizes, $6,000 worth of HP gear that you have a chance to win. And really, by being a member of this podcast, you guys know already the those that don't normally listen to the show are not quite here yet, so you guys will know that there is a bonus round. So there are up to a number of times you can enter. Okay, little hint here for you guys. So make sure you listen to both shows and maybe even the times of that I slate for the 24-hour podcast. So I just gave you a little hint there, okay? Well, I have to share something with you guys. You guys, I know I'm getting ready to go to the Consumer Electronics Show in January. Planning is heavily underway. I have a gentleman that is going to be my cameraman that's going to be coming from Chicago out to run camera for me. And then there's going to be additional research people that are going to be there from the show. It's going to be a great event. Of course, Andy McCaskey is going to be there. There's going to be some other people from Tech Podcast. But really what I've been worried about is the support person and the camera person that I'm going to have with me. I've been working on getting credentials. Now, the CES credentials I got approved. They're in the mail. They're all good. I'm getting the people signed up to make sure they get into Showstoppers. That's no problem. But today I've been dealing with Pepcom and trying. We've done coverage for Digital Experience, and it's been outstanding. We've delivered millions and millions and millions of video impressions for the vendors that are at their event. We do an excellent job in talking about the vendors' products. We bust our butt at that event. It's like a three-hour event, and there's more vendors there than you can talk to. But there's all these other distractions too. There's food, there's beer, there's wine, you know, all these things. We don't even stop to eat, you know. A lot of the people that go to these events, they go and they meet a few vendors, but they're there for the poo-poos and, you know. But we work. We work this event hard. And I think last year, they had actually shut down the event, and we were, like, grabbing scraps of food or whatever. We had a bottle of water or something from the – and, you know, and so what I'm doing this year, I'm reaching out to the Pepcom folks, and – while my credentials getting approved, they're giving me this just ridiculous time. I got to provide bylines for the camera person. I have to provide bylines. I'm like, I'm a blogger. I'm a podcaster. I have a worldwide audience. You know, I have people that I'm paying to come out and support me. And yet, we need some sort of, you know, I'm not a news organization. You know, what am I supposed to do? Make up a badge that says Geek News Central? You know, give me a break. So I'm going to have a conference call or a call with someone at Pepcom tomorrow. And hopefully we can come to a resolution and I can get these people credentialed for their event. They're the only event I'm having issues with. It's really taking up way, 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 way too much of my time. I've got many vendors that have contacted me and said, Todd, we're going to be at PepCom again this year, or at a Digital Experience again this year. We want you to make sure you come by and see us, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I've got a list here, you know, 10, 15 vendors that want to see us. And I, you know, normally we don't guarantee that we're going to come visit someone. But we'll stop by the booth and see what they have. And if they got something exciting, we'll give them some coverage, right? I don't understand what they're trying to do. I understand what PepCom's trying to do. They're trying to keep the riffraff out. But we go there and we work. I mean, we work our butts off to cover that event. And their screening process to get people in is ridiculous. I provided them with content that we did last year, links to that. It just doesn't seem to matter. And I really don't get it. I really don't. So I'm hoping someone has a contact over there, or someone as a vendor listening to this show right now. We have, you know, there are a lot of people listening to this show, and we hope that there's a vendor that is going to be at the event, or someone from PepCom themselves is listening. But I'm very aggravated with you folks. I really am. I'm very, very aggravated. We cannot come. We can go. We can do something else. I have other multiple invites from other companies to go to other events that night. They're not the only deal in town. They are the biggest deal with lots of companies where we can meet a lot of people at once and do a lot of great coverage for these companies. But there are lots of other big events. We can go. We don't have to work that evening. We can go and relax. But that's not what we're all about. I'm all about bringing you great content during CES, going to Showstoppers, going to Digital Experience. The Showstopper folks, they understand what we have provided for them. They're great. Come on, come on, come on. And please, you know, check out the show. And, you know, you're more than welcome to bring your crew. I'm bringing a camera guy. I'm bringing a guy that's going to do advanced running, who's going to be going around from booth to booth. Basically, I do the interviews, move to the next stage. Andy McCaskey from Slash Dot Review or SDR News, he's going to be there. Jeffrey Powers is another podcaster that's going to be with our crew that's going to be there. They're working their credentials separately. You know, but we need... We're going to have two cameras on the floor. It's going to be busy, right? I really don't get it. I don't get the thought. I guess what it is, I need to have an NBC or Fox News or a Computer World or PC World. Well, I tell you what, these companies, this group, they need to get their act together, because some of these mainstream companies may not be in business a year from now. But I guarantee you, I'm going to be in business. I guarantee you I am going to be in business. And, you know, if they gotta change their mindset. And I understand these companies want exposure to people that are legitimate, creating great content, and but they're just making it way, way too hard. Way, way too hard to get into these events. So anyway, I'm done ranting. I'm frustrated. Can you tell I'm frustrated? I shouldn't have to be wasting my time doing this. So I will talk with them tomorrow, and maybe they'll listen to this. And I guarantee you one thing, if they do not, if we don't go to their event, I will very publicly talk about the process that I've tried to do to get my team and ground people into it. I can't take the camera and film myself, for goodness sakes. You know, what am I going to do, hold the camera back and interview someone? Are they insane? So, you know, I already have broadcast crew credentials for these guys, and the other I have the other research assistant I have has got a blogger badge. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I have to be quiet. I quit talking about this. But okay. Well, I've had a very, very busy week here in the DC metro area, Baltimore, Southern Maryland. I've been very busy on the go. And I hope that it's been a great stay. It really, really has. But I am looking forward to getting on the airplane Saturday morning and heading back to Honolulu, weather permitting. And I wish a little snow would happen here. Maybe I shouldn't wish for that, because if the snow is here, these people don't seem to know how to drive, or things come to a grinding halt for a couple of days. But looking forward to getting back to Honolulu, getting big into the Christmas spirit. Again, the Christmas tree up at the house. I've got a birthday of one of my kids this weekend, so I got to get, of course, I got to bring a real nice a Christmas present home with me. Oh, I almost forgot. For the 24-hour podcast, I'm starting to get some entries on what people thought I bought. Came in a big box, and it excited my kids, and it's something I will reveal at the start of the 24-hour podcast. I'm going to give a prize to the person that guesses what I bought and what I will have, what I will reveal during the 24-hour podcast. Now, I will say this. Brian, my web developer at Raw Voice, he guessed what it is. And he isn't eligible to win. He had an unfair advantage. But I'll let you guys think about that, and you guys can work that through your noggins a little bit and see if you can come up with it. And I'll give a cool prize to the person that guesses. Send your entries to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7... 619-342-7365. Let's take care of a little business. I'll get into regular content here before I continue to rant. All right, hey, GoDaddy.com. It's Christmas time. What a great time, and especially if you have someone that is between jobs, if they are looking to maybe expand their horizons a little bit, buy the gift of a domain name, buy the gift of a hosting account, buy a whether it be at shared. Of course, start them off with a shared hosting account. Use my promo code Todd20 to save 20% off a one-year shared hosting account. You know, that's really a very inexpensive and a great rewarding product. Set themselves up with their own account, you know, enter their name, address, everything else, and kind of hand it over to them. Give them the login. And let them get in there and get set up and get them blogging or podcasting, whatever it may be. But give the gift of a domain name, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be. And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% off as well on any other orders. Geek5 will save you 20% on orders of 15, excuse me, they'll save you 15%. Off orders of $20 or more. Okay, thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here, of course. Hey, a lot of these meetings that I do, I can do virtually. And this week I've actually been doing some virtual meetings intermixed with meetings that I'm having on the road. Actually, I'm having meetings with people back in Hawaii, which is kind of interesting. And of course, I've been using the easiest online meeting service, GoToMeeting. And really, GoToMeeting has gotten a lot easier to use. If you haven't tried GoToMeeting, now's the time, because the new version of GoToMeeting has fully integrated voice over IP. With this new version, total audio feature, you have more audio options by being able to conference your phone or the web. Save time, save money, and be more efficient. Hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Click on the link on the on the website. That'll get you over there and signed up for the free trial. Actually, I think it's a 45-day free trial. And give it a try. What's cool about, I found out, is even here in the hotel where the bandwidth has been horrible, it's been horrible, really bad. Even with the bad bandwidth, I was able to do an online meeting using the voice over IP with no issues. I was really concerned that the bandwidth wouldn't support the hotel bandwidth was that bad, but it did, and I had no problems using the software, and it worked great. It always does. It's just flawless, and give it a try. Be the hero. Save some money by not having to travel when these economic times are tough. All right, let me go ahead and move on here. Let's get into the content. That's what you guys are waiting for, and I'm running really long and just jabbering today, and I have a lot of content to get into. But imagine this. You're sleeping. You wake up in the morning. And you said, honey, did I dream last night? She says, well, dear, yes, you did. You dreamed about another woman. You dreamed about your boss. You dreamed about this or that. How do you know that, honey? Well, sweetheart, I have a new device from Japan's ATR, Computational Neuroscience Laboratory. It's a computer that will measure and give me images of what you're dreaming about. I'm not kidding, folks. This is an announcement today that scientists are extracting images directly from the brain. And what they did is pretty amazing. They put a person in an MRI and had it actively running. And then above them, they had a little monitor that would show them different pictures of things. They were able to, through the MRI and some analysis software of the computer, be shown in A and actually get a visual A on the PC or on the PC screen. It would translate. So they showed them a wide variety of images. I guess they showed, let me look at how many, it was amazing how many they showed them. They showed them 400 random 10 by 10 pixel black and white images for a period of 12 seconds each. And I guess that's while the fMRI machine monitored the changes in brain activity, computer crunched the data and learned to associate the various changes in brain activity with the different images designs. Then when the test subjects were shown a completely new set of images, this was after they had been shown the 400 images, they were shown the letters N-E-U-R-O-N, the computer, and it's got an image of what they look like. Was able to replicate in black and white N-E-U-R-O-N. This is scary and yet at the same time absolutely amazing stuff. Now, I want you to think about some implications here of this. Let's say, now this is while the person was awake and looking at the monitor, okay? So let's say you have, this science gets drilled down to perfection where they can have a pretty good image. Can you imagine for someone that's just in a coma or any other medical condition you can think of where they're trying to communicate with the person and get a response to talk to the person and have this device running and be able to see if they respond or watch what's going on with brain activity? It's really scary. It really, really is what possibly could be gleaned from this. Now, at the same time, I'm sure law enforcement and different organizations probably will at some point and someday be using this as their newest lie detector. You know, after all, they ask you a question and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I need to say yes to this, even though it's no. And maybe your brain will flash a no versus a yes. And they'll be able to tell very, very quickly whether or not you're lying during a lie detector test. So I think this has some very amazing potential here. We will see what happens up. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Love to hear what you guys think about this. I think this was the most interesting article I found for you tonight. But extracting images directly from the brain. Now, give them a few years. It's going to be live streaming video, baby. It's going to be pay-per-view. Now, I don't know how many of you have had a few interesting dreams over the years, and how many of you would probably just rather not say anything about some of your dreams. The weird ones we all talk about. But there are others that, you know, it's better left unsaid. Oh, boy. It definitely could be. And you know what's even more weird is if you wanted to record your dreams to see what you were dreaming. Now, I think that would be cool to be able to let this thing run all night and then come back in the morning. And I personally have the ability to go back and review. You ever had that great, brilliant idea and you thought about while you're sleeping and you knew it was a $1 million idea, yet you wake up in the morning and you couldn't remember it? Been there many, many times, and people are very creative, and brain continues to work while you're sleeping, so very cool. Leave it to the Japanese. I have to say, it was probably, you know, the Japanese in their own way are at times can be, you know, a little bit strange, and I can say this, my wife's Japanese, but you know, who knows what road they were rolling down here in doing this science. It makes me go, All right, there's a good article over on Wired. It's a video that shows every flight on Earth in 72 seconds. It was a computer generated. It recreated all the flight paths over a 72-hour period. All flights over a 24-hour period over the entire Earth, and it's replayed in 72 seconds. Very cool video. I'll have that up for you. Hey, how many of you are LimeWire users? Now, that LimeWire is a peer-to-peer application, and I'm sure many of you have never used LimeWire, of course, but if you have, you may be interested to know that they have updated LimeWire, and they've added private file sharing. Basically, if you have LimeWire loaded on your machine and your mom or a friend or family member has LimeWire on their machine, you just drop a file into your folder and it automatically shows up in the other person's folder. It's a direct transfer, or if two or three people are sharing together. Very interesting way to share files with grandma. Of course, pictures, and, you know, who knows, home movies, that type of stuff. So private file sharing by LimeWire. Now, there's lots of other ways to do this, okay? Don't get me wrong. I use Jungle Disk. It's one of the ways that I use to make data accessible whenever I'm on the road on different computers. And I also give the login to my mom so she can get in and get new family pictures and so forth. So very, very cool. Hey, how many of you have noticed when you're in San Francisco, especially at the internet, at the airport, that the old international terminal has been abandoned? In other words, it's shut down. Well, somebody got into the old international terminal, which closed in 2002, which originally opened back in 1954, and was able to get a number of pictures, which are kind of weird. It's kind of like this old, you know, it doesn't, I think it'll be more cool in another 20 years if this portion of the San Francisco airport is blocked off. But some of the lights were still on, and they took some very interesting pictures. It kind of is eerie seeing an airport terminal really kind of abandoned. But anyway, I have this linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. It's just some I just thought the pictures were pretty amazing. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. Water vapor confirmed on alien planet. A planet that is only 63 light years away has detected to have water vapor. NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope has detected the steamy signature of water vapor in light coming from a large exoplanet circling around a star 63 light years away from Earth. And while this is not the first sign of water around a planet, there is pretty strong evidence that this, I guess it's a Pluto size. Oh, how big is this thing? What do they say? It's as big as Jupiter and has a boiling, they call it a boiling gigantic gas planet. Has water vapor. So this is interesting news. Now I don't know how we'll get over there to check it out. Don't know if I want to go to a boiling planet or not, but it does bring up some thought that maybe someday, we will be able to travel through a wormhole or something more exotic to see some of these planets. I found a pretty cool article today, or interesting article at least, on the New York Times in their media and advertising section talking about YouTube videos pulling in real money for content producers over there. And, of course, it struck me with some interest because, obviously, I work in the podcast advertising space. This individual by the name of Michael Buckley, does a video blog on celebrity chatter, and he films funny videos as a full-time job, and he partnered up with YouTube in their partner program earlier in the year. His videos, I guess, have been seen about 100 million times. He recently quit his job in September after his online profits had surpassed his normal salary as an administrative assistant for a music promotion company. And he went on to say that he's earning around $100,000 a year. I went on to read the article a little further, and I found that YouTube is not saying how many people are earning those types of dollars, they say there are a few. But I got to thinking about that. 100 million views. You know something? I know podcasters today who are earning very nice incomes as a part-time job that get nowhere near 100 million views. It just surprised me that, now maybe this guy's making, you know, high six figures. Maybe he's making a half million a year. Who knows? They just say six figures or, you know, some reference to around 100,000. And it just proves to me that an individual that is very, very serious about creating content, whether it be audio or video, now video is much, much harder to break out, I believe, than audio is, can earn a good income in the space. I don't think any one of us would be disappointed in earning $100,000 for creating content online a year. But what really kind of set this apart and made me think was that he had to get 100 million views in order to earn that much money. Now, this would not be, if an individual in podcasting had 100 million views, they would earn significantly more money. I mean significantly more money than this guy is talking about. So while he's doing great, I'm just wondering at what point these individuals are going to start going out and looking to land their own deals, because I think they're getting shortchanged. I really, really do. 100 million views, hooking up with the right advertiser with that content should result in a lot more money. You know, it really, really should. But I guess that's his choice, but if he's ever wanting to see what we can do for him, I'd be more than happy to try to find him an advertiser. And yes, I will take a small percentage of that as a finder's fee for him. But yeah, very, very interesting on this. Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to move on. What do you guys think? Do you think that, you know, that this is a realistic expectation for anyone? I honestly don't think it is, but what would you be satisfied with? If you're not creating new media now, if you're looking to do your own show, what would be your goal? And I always ask people that when they're telling me they want to have an advertiser on their show. What is your goal? Is your goal to earn enough money and take your wife out to dinner, or is it enough to quit your day job? You know, what's your end goal? And the responses are very varied, and you can tell a lot about a person in their and what they're shaping their show to be when they do answer that question. Okay, let me move forward here. There's a great article over on ThompsonChemManor.com. I'm not even going to try this. This is like the he needs to really go on a try to find a very shorter domain. Definitely people are not going to be typing this in, but he did post today 16useful.html. A-C-C-E-S-S, in other words, htaccess tricks and hacks for web developers. And if you are you have your own website and you're looking for some tricks to put up your sleeve in order to, you know, to have your website act a certain way, you definitely can check this tips and tricks out on your htaccess file. And for those of you that don't know what that is, when you visit the website, all you really have to do is kind of Google that, and the Wikipedia will give you a good explanation of what htaccess is. And all websites you go to usually have a base.ht.access file. Okay, Google has announced today that Google Chrome has come out of beta. They have version 1.0 on the street, and they feel that it is stable enough to bring out a beta. And they've been able to speed the browser up. And it also has some great bookmark manager and privacy controls. So if you haven't checked Chrome out, you can do that. I have it on my laptop. I haven't used it too much. So I'll let you guys I have to reload it and kind of actually, you know, update it and see what it see what it's looking like these days. But it's been a while since it's been out. But this is interesting that Google has rolled this out of beta. You know, how long was Gmail in beta? You know, is it still in beta? I don't even know, to be honest with you. But for a browser, for Google, they've gotten this one rolled into production version pretty quick. Hey, over on ConsumerElectronicInsider.com, there's a good start to, if you want to follow what the kind of the pre-CES coverage is, you can do that. They've got up-to-date information, blog posts, Twitters, YouTube, and Flickr videos. So I don't know who's running the site, to be honest with you. Oh, actually, Intel is the site that's running this. So that's why they did such a good job. It's at ConsumerElectronicsInsider.com. I have the link up in the show notes. And I'm sure as soon as I start tweeting about CES, which I will hear very shortly, that some of this will stop popping up and you guys will be able to see what I'm talking about for the Consumer Electronics Show and, of course, what I'm writing about as well. All right, over on Gizmodo, if your iPhone has, if you have an iPhone and you've had the desire to copy and paste, there is a semi-workable solution now, and it is using a third-party website. If you want to paste between Safari and Mail, you do that by essentially going to. It's basically I have the link up in the show notes. I'm not even going to explain the instructions to you, but it's kind of a handy way with your iPhone to be able to cut and paste something. Although how many times would you actually cut something out of a browser window and into your mail? And if you, I guess if you want to send someone a URL link or something, but that's not the kind of stuff I want to cut and paste. I want to cut and paste different pieces of email, and for those, I just don't want to do it between Safari and the mail application. Right, moving on. How many, this is something that drives my wife crazy, and we've all done it from time to time, but she actually had a grandfather who was very strict about this, and actually he did something to her when she was a child that today would get him arrested for child abuse. Basically, have you seen someone that shakes their leg? Just bounce, 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 bounce. And I think we've all done it from time to time. Well, the Japanese call that no make money. In other words, when you're shaking your leg, it's not resulting in anything productive. So it's a big stigmatism in Japan to be a leg shaker. You just don't do it. When my wife was a little child, now this is hardcore, her grandfather put a cigarette, lit cigarette on her leg to stop her from shaking. She still bears the scar from that today. Now, most of you are probably gasped hearing that, but she obviously doesn't smoke in my so when our kids have ever shaken their legs or something, she comes down hard on it. But and this product would I'm going to show it to her when I get home, this would drive her crazy. There's a device out that's it's a leg monitor, and what it does is it turns your what you're calling a restless leg into jittery music. And basically, you strap this device on your thigh, and if your leg starts shaking, then what it does is through a USB port, the software automatically analyzes your leg shaking and then personalize that into a music track. No, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't even cover this article, but it just reminded me of that. So next time you see someone shaking their leg, you can say, "Hey, that's no make of money, okay? No make money, you." So I thought you guys would get a chuckle out of that. Now, as cruel as her grandfather was, he just wanted to make sure she would never ever have that stigmatism of being a person that had that leg shaking going on. And we've all done it. And matter of fact, my wife used to smack me. She used to smack my leg. Stop that! Stop that! You have to stop that. You're driving me crazy. So it definitely had an effect on her. It really, really did. Okay, Windows Mobile browser battle. Can you get the real internet with the phone that you're on? I've been getting phones to review, and the thing that drives me crazy is the first thing I do is load the browser, and I load Geek News Central, I load a different website, and guess what I find? The browser doesn't you really load it well, or it loads it, kind of half and half, or it's off splice. Well, the folks over at Gizmodo did a battle modo where they looked at a number of phones to determine which one was the best, had the best browser, best load times between Internet Explorer on them and Opera 9.5. Also, they looked at a Wi-Fi web browsing and the difference between Internet Explorer and Opera 9.5. And the phones that they tested were the HTC Fuse, the Samsung Omnia, the Sony Xperia X1, and the Samsung Epix. So definitely want to check this review out. It kind of gives you a clue on which phones seem to be doing a much better job, and really kind of opened my eyes up. A friend of mine was asking me Tuesday. He said, Tuesday night. He said, "Todd, which phone should I buy if I want a good browser experience?" So I said, "Well, obviously the iPhone is good, and the Google Android's not bad as well. I mean, excuse me, the Android G1 by T-Mobile's not bad." He's a Verizon customer, and he really didn't want to make a switch, and I don't blame him for that. So I emailed him a link to this article tonight. So hopefully it'll help him in his decision-making process of which phone to have a good browser experience on the phone. Have you got any of these phones? Have you got HTC Fuse, Samsung Omnia, Sony Xperia X1, or Samsung Epix? Love to hear from you if you do, and let me know what you think about it and how's your browser experience been on that phone. Or if your browser does a good, I mean, if your phone does a good job with the browser. This is kind of where we're at, right? The Blueberry site, we now have a mobile version, m.blueberry.com, blubrry.com. And we're starting to see immediately good traction on that. And but, you know, it's all about your experience on the web with your mobile device. So I'm hoping you'll take a chance and send me an email or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and let me know how your mobile does web browsing. It doesn't have to be too long, just a short, whether you like it, if it's jacked up half the time or whatever. Hey, Nick Bradbury, who I really respect, is the author of Feed Demon. It's the news aggregator that I use. I've used for ever since I started this show. I've always, when it was a pay application, I paid for the application, was happy to. But I guess a year or so ago, they decided to make Feed Demon free, which always puzzled me. But now it appears that I'm yawning on you here. Feed Demon version 2.8 is going to have advertising embedded in amongst your user experience. I'll be honest, Nick, if you're listening, I will pay. I will gladly pay for no advertising. Please, 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 please. I beg of you, let me have a version where there's no advertising. I just do not want advertising on my feed aggregator. I'll stay here at version 2.7. But I really, this really bothers me. It really, really does. And I know you guys have done a good job. I know you've done a good job to try to keep this non-obtrusive. And it looks like it's pretty non-obtrusive. But it's unacceptable, my friend. I know you've made it free. You got to make money. Make a version for us that we are willing to pay for to not have the ads. Okay? Please, please do that. And I know Nick has listened to the show in the past, and especially when I talk about him in the show, he'll sometimes listen to the podcast. You know, if we can have a version where we can pay not to, you know, basically be subjected to this, I'd love to do so. I've sort of supported the product for a long time. And those that don't want to, then great, run the advertising. But please make a version available for those of us that have paid for the product for in years past. All right, AT&T is now offering the iPhone 3G home activation for real this time. That's what the title of the article is over on theboygenusreport.com. Apparently, AT&T has reactivated home activation again. So now you can go to an AT&T store, pick up a phone, take it home, and activate it. And I don't know what the rules around that is and whether or not they make you sign something where you're going to have to pay more money if you don't activate it within a certain amount of time. But just in time for the holidays, iPhone 3G available to be activated online. Oh, actually, you can order it online as well. So this is cool. This is really cool. So I have the link up in the show notes, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of happy unlockers that are willing to go out and get an iPhone and, you know, unlock it and use their own SIM in it. So very, very good. We'll see how this, see how long this lasts. Over on WordPress.org, announcement of WordPress version 2.7. And yes, my site is still in the process of working towards being converted. The web developer has been at it for, actually the graphics designer has been at it now for, just about a month. Looking at the, trying to get the site redesigned. He's not happy with his current design, and there is going to be a makeover of the Geek News Central website. I wanted to be ready to go when 2.7 was out, and obviously we're not there yet. So we'll continue to see this thing. But I'm telling you, Brian, this better be a masterpiece, my friend. And we'll see if he's listening. No pressure. I know you're busy doing a lot of things in the holidays and so forth, but I'm ready. Ready to make that move. I really am. Hey, how many of you have gotten over to the 24-hour podcast website at 24hrpodcast.com? When you get over there, let me know what you think of the new site design and where we're at. I actually got a little CSS issue I have to fix, and it's pretty basic, but it's running on one of our little custom homepages over at Blueberry, hosted exclusively on blueberry.com. So check that out. Of course, a little pimp there for our podcast hosting service over there. One thing is, what else am I going to say? If you guys just listen to the end of the show, I got something to share with you guys then that I think you guys will get a chuckle out of. Oh, if you are outside on Friday the 12th, the year's biggest full moon will be tomorrow. Now, I don't know here in the D.C. area if we're going to be able to see the moon or not because of the weather, but if you're in an area where there are clear skies, make sure you get out there and look at the moon tomorrow. It'll be the closest approach of the moon this year. All right, parents, and this has been making the rounds a little bit, but you really need to listen up. I'm serious. 20% of the parents that listen to this show have had their children put nude pictures of themselves online. In a recent study that was conducted, 20% of teens say they have put nude pictures of themselves online. And a survey of 1,280 teenagers aged from 13 to 19 and young adults 20 to 26 conducted by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy and CosmoGirl.com has revealed that 1 out of 5 teens overall posted nude photos or videos of themselves on the Internet. The number goes up to a third when the young adults are included. While 71% of teen girls and 67% of teen guys who have sent these photos say they've sent them to a boyfriend or girlfriend, 15% overall said they've sent nude photos to people they only knew online. For women, that percentage stays the same when they turn into young adults, although the percentage of young adult men goes up to 23%. Please talk to your children and tell them the hazards of doing this. This is shocking. It really is. I could not have imagined being a teenager and taking a picture of myself nude. I just can't imagine. I just cannot fathom this at all. And I know we have some young adults that listen to the show. And let me tell you, this is a very dangerous thing to do. People, a picture is forever. You know, people, did you delete it? Oh, yeah, I deleted it. That stays in someone's camera or in their archive, which is going to haunt you years later. It can be used against you, can be used to blackmail you. Do not do this, okay? Please do not do it, even to someone you completely trust, because you never know. A year from now, if that person is a person that is now someone that you can't trust, this is a very, very, you know, scary thing to do out there. I know this is a new age. People are more free, but this is not good. Parents, please share this with your teens. The link will be up in the show notes. Love to hear your feedback on this one, parents. And, you know, I tried to keep this as it is informational, and I hope that everyone was okay with me telling this, but you guys need to really reach out to your kids. This is scary stuff. Okay, what would you rather choose? You have been laid off, hypothetically. Would you choose your TV or your Internet service? I know what you answered. You chose your Internet service over your TV, right? After all, you can watch TV over the Internet, right? Well, apparently, for the first time, it appears that people are canceling their cable service like crazy, but they're leaving their Internet service turned on. So much for those bandwidth caps over at Cablevision. You know, people are going to shut their TVs off, so what are they going to do? They're going to hook this up to their big screen, and they're going to be watching TV shows over the Internet. But people are canceling their cable television service left and right to escape the cable bills. Of course, the cable bill is a luxury item, just like a cell phone. But the Internet, you can get a job. You can get entertainment, get a break from sanity, be productive. Of course. Why are cable companies surprised that people are bailing on them? They need to get their prices down. Come on. All right, Sony BMG to pay $1 million over child privacy. Sony has agreed to pay $1 million to settle charges that it collected information about website visitors under the age of 13 without parents' permission. It has to settle allegations the company has been in violation of the Children Online Privacy Act and collecting information on children under the age of 13 on some of its websites without parents' consent. So interesting that they're going after these companies for these types of violations. I bet you there's a lot more companies in violation of this as well. All right, would you, how do you feel? You know, I know a lot of people that have allergies and stuff where, an alert band, maybe they're allergic to a medicine or they have allergies to certain things. But would you keep your medical record details on a flash drive? And a former soldier has come up with the idea of people keeping their medical details on a USB memory stick that they can be worn or carried. The Med Alert bracelet is a great idea, but it can only carry so much information. But a former British SAS soldier has turned the idea that he used in Afghanistan into a business. So he has essentially set up what's called UTAG, a memory stick that looks like a dog tag, which can be worn or attached like a fob to a keychain. The aluminum case sports the medical stick entwined on a staff and the word ICE in case of emergency. And the memory stick is password protected and work on all national health systems and all versions of Windows from ME Ford. The owner of the UTAG can enter or edit data, which are brief, in policy, insurance policy, medical conditions, and so I guess this is accessible via European medical systems. This is a cool idea. This is really cool. Very, very smart. There's another company out there called MyMedicalMemory.org that does this as well. Of course, they made a comment in the comment section of this, but very, very smart by those folks for doing that. And of course, if you have a medical issue or concern that if you're incapacitated, that you would want enacted. If someone is finding you, then it would be like a do not resuscitate order, that type of material. If you are of that age where you're considering that type of a an action or an order to be put in, or if you're allergic to something that people need to know about, if you're allergic to penicillin or those types of derivatives, it's really smart. And it obviously gives them more information than what they would find on one of those Meta Alert bands. All right, Microsoft is warning of a zero-day IE attack. Microsoft has warned users of two new cyber attacks in the wild, exploiting recent vulnerabilities found in Internet Explorer and WordPad Text Converter. I guess this is for all IE version 7s on various versions of Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, Vista, and Windows Server 2008. It's an XML vulnerability in IE that really gives people complete control of a person's computer. And Microsoft said in an advisory that so far the attacks have been limited to a small number of victims. So watch where you're surfing out there, folks, okay? All right. Speaking of the moon, we talked about the moon being its closest approach tomorrow. It appears that there is a new theory out or hypothesis out from a couple of scientists that two Dutch geophysicists argue that the moon was not created by a massive collision 4.5 billion years ago, but by a runaway nuclear reaction deep inside the Earth when the Earth was crust was still not, very soft. And they say that there was a massive nuclear explosion at the Earth's core, which drove out a big segment of molten mass, which ended up being the moon. So they've come up with some arguments on how this could happen and why they think this is the case versus us being hit or the Earth being hit by a Mars-size object. What they expect is what really caused the moon, but we will see what they come up with this on this. And scientists, of course, I'm sure, are a little bit skeptical. All right, what are the four things you as a tech worker must have? And here is the result of a pretty big poll. Of course, number one was your laptop. Laptops garnered 88% of the respondents' votes. Nearly three quarters selected the mobile phone, which was followed by VPN access, and then rounding out on the top four was their BlackBerry. So these are the devices, the four devices, the laptop, the, what did I say there? It was the, boy, I've lost my place in the article here. Okay, there we go. The laptop, mobile phone, actually the eight, there were some things that weren't, isn't this horrible? I'm looking right at this article, and I've lost my place. Don't do this too often, folks. Okay, so they said it was the laptop again, and then were mobile phones, VPN access, and then BlackBerry. I guess that's the same as a mobile phone, so how could that have been fourth? I guess they don't consider BlackBerry a mobile phone. They did have a list of devices that people could live without. The desk phone garnered 18%, the desk PC received 20%, video conferencing 23%, and the assigned and an assigned desk 37%. Oh, that's interesting. They could do without an assigned desk. Very odd. Okay, anyway, I have this link up in the show notes, and sorry for me getting that completely jacked up. All right, Aussie ISPs are refusing to join government's filtering testing. Good for them. With the Australian government plan to censor the entire internet within Australia, two of the country's largest ISPs, Telstra and Internode, announced that they would not participate in the government's proposed filtering test. So they've stood up to them. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with these guys, if they made this into law or if this is something that's voluntary, but nice to see that they're not going to do that. And anytime the government gets involved in any type of filtering or, you know, it just is not good. Censorship is not good in no matter what form. So anyway, congratulations to those ISPs for standing up to the gov. All right, what are your most important road warrior applications or road warrior tools? You know, we all know that we have to carry our laptop on the road. That's a given, right? You have to have that with you. But how about devices that help you connect to the web on the fly? How about power strips or power little power devices that give you more than one plug when you're plugged into a jack, little power, you know, like mini power strips. They've got a pretty good list here on Ars Technica, and it's a 4 or 5 page article about Road Warrior Essentials. I have that linked up in the show notes for you to take a look at. Hey, I was really fascinated here, and too bad my internet connection is so bad because I really want to go over here and look at this. But the National Archives has a section devoted to providing access to some of World War II material. The material is scattered and not easily accessible for searching. But there's a website that's called go.footnote/WWII. So again, it's go.footnote.com/WWII. It's a website that provides a single interface to search various collections, including enlistment records, photos, and documents. Basically, this site is trying to help people find data within the National Archives that is almost inaccessible. It allows people to go in and then put metadata in on search results that they found and basically help build up the information you're going to need to help find people and events that happened during World War II. The National Archives has just, you know, so much stuff that they've never released to the public. I think this is awesome, and I wish the National Archives would hurry up and get everything digitized and get it on the web. It's just a resource we all have a right to. As taxpayers in this country, we pay for the National Archives. And, you know, it's good to see that them coming out of their shell. They need a little help on the web functions, but the secondary companies are coming in and helping out. So go.footnote.com/WWII. All right, of course, the five-star battle and the court battle continues, and the five-star folks have shot back and said that Apple code is crashing and lopping up Mac clones that the five-star Mac clone manufacturer had made. So this is what they've countered their countersuit to say, that that Apple has purposely put code in place that essentially locks people out of their machines, and they're saying that they have they're violating some DMCA rules, so they're getting pretty desperate here. But I think Osistar is going to be going down for the count before it's all over. So I think that's it. Of course, you hear my chair squeaking in the background there. And this has been an interesting trip. I'm ready to go where it's warm. But I look forward to meeting up with audience members tomorrow night at Clyde's and Tyson Corners in Vienna, Virginia. Google that and you'll find the address. I've sent emails to everyone that has basically ponied up. If you haven't got an email, you've just gotten your invite. Don't feel free that I have snubbed you, because I didn't mean to if I missed your email to me. So Clyde's in Vienna, Virginia, 7 p.m. That's when we're going to meet. And just look for the geek, and we'll have a nice dinner together. Okay, I've got some voicemails for you, and I have a number of emails. I'm going to share an interesting email for you here after the voicemails are over. But if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail. Let me flip the little switch here and double-click the audio file.
Hey, Todd, Randy.
Hey, Randy.
All right, you said hi.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here listening to you as I go east in Nebraska towards Wyoming, out here in the boonies. Listen to your, I think, December 5th episode, talk about the music in college. And I'm thinking I might do a little bit of that on my randomizedradio.com podcast during the next week or two. But you think about all this. These are our kids. These are our children that are in colleges. You know, why aren't we as parents getting a little bit more irate? You know, you're talking about making copies of A-tracks. I did a thing when I was in the Air Force called, you know, K-Buzz Radio. Made tapes to listen to at weekend parties, you know, for the troops.
Yep.
And we recorded ourselves and got to listen to it, you know, at the party, which was kind of a kick. Well, it was Alaska. There wasn't a lot to do. but, you know, like you said, though, how many people have been doing some of this stuff? There is going to be a certain amount of sharing that... what about the FM stuff? I mean, I think these people are just trying to grip really too hard, and they're like trying to squeeze a bowl full of Jell-O, and the harder you squeeze, the more it's going to squish out between their fingers. And I do think that, you know, us adults, need to help take some of this and put some common sense into what they're doing. You know, like you were saying, though, 8-tracks, 9-8 cassettes. You know, sharing that stuff, you know, hell, the old 45s, you think about the Bobby Sox, kids, you know, girls would sit around for a little dance, listen to their 45s, you know, even before we were kids. So I think it's insane. I think that they're being way too brutal, and they're being overly greedy, you know. They're being way too greedy, and they need to be shut down, really. So anyway, hey, man, have a great one. Aloha.
Hey, Randy, thanks for the call, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a kid, my parents didn't have disposable income. You know, my mom had to work just so that I would have track shoes for track, and you know, she worked her butt off and used her paycheck to buy groceries. My dad was in construction. We didn't have money. And so, you know, what did I have? I had a stereo, a little stereo that I had gotten for Christmas. And you know what I couldn't wait for every year was Casey Kasem's Top 100, his countdown. My mom knew I was not available that day because I would be up in my room with a tape in, record button on, pause. Soon as he quit talking, bam, I would hit record, be right there ready to hit stop. Soon as he quit talking, stop, you know, get to the end of the tape, flip it over. That's how I got my music for the year. Casey Kasem on FM. So they don't get it. They've just simply lost their minds. And, you know, it's just, obviously we've come a long way. We really have, but it's no different. It's no different. And most kids just don't have disposable income. You know, they turn into music connoisseurs. They buy music when they get older, and they're never going to stop teenagers from Sharon Music. I just don't think they ever will. If they do, the world will stop spinning. It really will. All right, here comes the next voicemail. Randy, thanks for calling. Aloha.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
Welcome to the mainland.
Oh, cold.
Coming your way, unfortunately. Yeah, and it's cold. I don't know about you, but winter is way too long. But, hey, listen, I'm calling regarding the comment you made regarding the Tribune article. And, you know, we're a Chicago Tribune subscriber, and my wife just canceled our subscription, mainly because they changed the format and how they were printing their news. They kind of changed it. They used to be a much beefier newspaper, and they really condensed it. And unfortunately, as you had pointed out, reading the New York Times on your Kindle is not the same experience. They've kind of ruined their experience. And they were very receptive as to why we were canceling, which was nice. As far as where that whole industry is going, I have no idea. But what I am interested in or what I'm fascinated at is the number of, you know, when you look at your RSS feed read and all that good stuff, when you look at that, and you see the number of stories that have, you know, been copied and pasted from one website service to another. I mean, what you might read a story that's from that was from the Chicago Tribune that might have been picked up by four or five other websites. And I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe all the news reporters are going to become bloggers to some extent, and maybe that's the way it's all going to go. But anyway. Very interesting, and nice to hear a story here that's happened in Chicago. And I don't know what the answer is, but they got to do something. So anyway, stay warm, be safe, and have safe travels home. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And, you know, I think what's going to boil down to is that they've had to probably cut the format of the paper because they're so tight on money. And, it's going to be very curious to see what happens with the news industry. It's something we all have to sit back and think. As much as we like to bash them, they could be gone, and we would have to pick up and carry the mantle. So I don't know if advertisers will start paying attention to us then or not. Maybe they wouldn't have any choice. Maybe same thing goes with TV, with people in this recession canceling their TV subscriptions. Okay. Final voicemail for the night. It's a pretty long one, but I'm going to go ahead and play it. We've got the time on the clock, so let me go ahead and fire this one off.
Hey, Todd. Brian here. I got a little bit of interesting story for you. I got one of those, I mentioned it before, I have one of those Roku Netflix players, and I've had it since it pretty much came out. Things work flawless ever since I had it, and never any problems. And I know that some people had some problems with them recently that got ironed out. Anyway, the other night, first time ever, the movie wouldn't load. I mean, it wouldn't even attempt to load. So I troubleshooted everything on the network and everything. Couldn't find anything wrong. Tested my connection and everything. And I called, I got a Netflix tech support person. The Roku tech support person was dreadful. Just. I can't even begin to tell you how dreadful. But the Netflix tech was pretty good. She had worked at an ISP before and stuff. So we did some line test, and I asked her where the server was for the Netflix server. I'm in New York. She said it's in New York. And I said, oh, well, that's odd. You know, should be working good. But I had tested my line to several places in the country. I tested it to, like, down south, like Texas, I think, Chicago, and the West Coast, California. So we did a trace route, and everything looked pretty good. But then we did a trace path, and it turns out that I was being routed to California, to San Francisco, and back to New York. To get to, you know, across town to New York, they were routing me to San Francisco and back to get there. And she said that's what's killing it. And apparently the routes are by the ISPs are provided by other companies like Level 3 and stuff. They buy their routing tables from them or something. I don't know. It seemed a little dodgy because all my traffic going there was fine. Like I could do a speed test to San Francisco. It was fine. It was only to that particular server. Or maybe a small group of servers. It's working okay now. I mean, this thing only lasted a few days, but it was really weird how it was that particular server. Also, real quick, if anyone, you or anyone else knows, I'm looking for something to capture movies. I want to capture all my old VHS tapes and a couple, you know, copyright unprotected DVD movies and stuff. Basically, any analog source to digital. I had one of those Pinnacle players, and it kind of just it broke. It doesn't work anymore. It worked for a couple months, and it's horrible. But if there's some standalone device, because my girlfriend needs to do it, I really want to avoid having to capture with a capture card on the computer. If anyone knows of a good standalone device that'll capture in like MP4, H.264, DVD quality, doesn't have to, not high def, doesn't have to be great. I'm having trouble finding something to do that. That would be really good if anyone has any information for that. All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for the call, and I'll be honest with you. You need to check out the folks over at Neuros. They have some interesting products that may work and may do what you're looking for. It captures to some of their devices capture to an SD card, and all you have to do is just, you know, plug your media in. You can watch it on the TV, too, at the same time while it's playing. But check out Neuros, N-E-U-R-O. They got some good products over there. If they got a comment section, make sure you tell them that I sent you. Highly recommend it, their different line. Okay, got some email here. We'll knock this out real quick. And I had a couple of people send in guesses on what I'm going to reveal during my 24-hour podcast this coming Saturday, the 20 and 21st. Actually, a week from Saturday. And Jim, is the big box an iMac? Jim, no, it's not, Jim. Incorrect guess. Try again. It is not an iMac. So, you know, we're gonna say all the ones that didn't get it right. And, Bria, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at dinner. Got an email from Ken. He says, hey, Todd, I agree with your comments on the unfairness at the iPhone store. I noticed another story of iPhone store shenanigans. I was considering getting into iPhone app development, at least as a hobby, even though I'm a Windows Mobile user. After hearing the goofiness going on there, I have started tinkering with Windows Mobile development using the 90-day trial of Visual Studio 2008 Pro. Thanks for the great coverage, Ken. Hey, Ken, why don't you do some stuff for the G1 for Android? I think that has some potential there, okay? So give that a shot. And we actually got to get back to one of our listeners who's thinking about doing some G1 development. It actually contacted me. I'll be reaching out to you soon. I haven't forgot about you. It's just been a busy week this week on travel. All right, I got an email from Jordan. He said, hey, I think it's no-brainer to post HD video. The difference in quality on sites like YouTube is unbelievable. I increasingly find myself choosing not to watch video on television that is not in HD format. And really, Jordan, I think what you're going to find is that the video, even on YouTube, that's in HD, it's really pixelated, you know. And I'm sure you see the 1080i when you're on TV, and you don't get the same exact quality when you're viewing, you know, via the internet. But it is definitely. I did check out some of the HD stuff on YouTube. It is a pretty good experience. Okay, I got an email from JP. He says, Todd, is the secret item in your house a Segway? No, John, it's not. I'm not sure what I would be using a Segway for during the 24-hour podcast. No, not a Segway, but nice try, really. Got an email from Jim. Maybe this will give you some insight. Anyway, it's interesting, and it's about a iPhone developer writing a personal letter to Steve Jobs, so I'll share that with you in the show notes. I want to share with you one of our tech podcast listeners. His name is Norbert, and he does the Totally Cool Tech podcast at totallycooltech.com. He said, you know, I've been listening to you since about December 2004, and you and some of the other original podcasters are the one who inspired me to get into podcasting. You've always said that podcasters are lucky to get past show 5, if not 10, before quitting for whatever reason. Well, I had my first podcast for 3.5 years and did the Norbert.info podcast to introduce 40 episodes. Then I decided to totally revamp the podcast and went with a shorter but more frequent one with my new daily podcast, Totally Cool Tech. I've been racking up the episodes quite quickly. I have now hit episode number 300 in only 13 months and 3 weeks. I've missed about 10 to 15 scheduled episodes due to either illness or family responsibilities. Some of the episodes were covered by TechPodcast.com members who did some for me when I lost my voice last January. What a group. As a proud and longtime member of TechPodcast.com, I appreciate your work with Tech Podcast and getting this group together. I could not have been as happy or successful without the help that you and the group have given me over the years. Now, to do another 300 episodes, Norbert. Norbert, congratulations on hitting 300. And everyone, go over and check out Norbert's show at totallycooltech.com. I'm going to tell you, it's a hard road to climb to do a show every day, or at least weekly. It really is, and Norbert's done a great job over there. All right, here's an email from Steve, and he says, Todd, just to let you know, I've used SquareTrade for a number of eBay purchases. One was a motherboard for my ThinkR40 laptop. After 10 months, the motherboard failed. I contacted SquareTrade. They sent the motherboard to them within a week. The money for the purchase was deposited in my PayPal account. The communication with them was great, and the service was fast and hassle-free. I would definitely recommend using SquareTrade. You can also purchase a warranty for new products bought at retail stores for often much less than the retail's extended warranty. I have not used the service in this way, but I may for some purchases made for Christmas this year. All in all, using SquareTrade has been a very good experience to me. Thank you for all your work and great content you deliver. Sincerely, Steve. Steve, thanks so much for that. And, of course, everyone, thanks so very much for hanging out with me tonight. And I look forward to being back with you in the beautiful state of Hawaii for my regular Tuesday morning release show next week. So I'll be with you for two regular episodes. And I may be announcing soon a very interesting road trip where we may take the show overseas for a couple of weeks, which should prove to be a big challenge. But we'll be talking about that as time draws near. And until then, I guess, actually until next week, everyone have a great weekend. Be safe. And, of course, get your Christmas shopping done early, folks. Lots of great deals out there. And, of course, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And until I see you on Tuesday, aloha.